Today's scripture reading can be found on your pew Bibles on page 1785. It is 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free. And we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church first all of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts.
Well, for those of you that are, long-term Christians, you've probably heard this preached on 600 or 700 times. It's a very, very, overused in some senses passage to talk about unity of the body of Christ. But it's what the lectionary told us to preach on today. So God had a purpose. And since God had a purpose, I had to sit there and figure out what it might be. And I figured out pretty quickly after reading this that Paul's description of the body of Christ for the Corinthians was centered around his concern for their bickering amongst each other regarding spiritual gifts. But like any part of Scripture, we can read Scripture with an eye towards today's culture and see what it is that God can teach us from this ancient writing. So I looked into it, and Paul was sort of a genius in using this analogy of the body with the church in Corinth. The human body was used as social and political metaphor in Greece years before Paul used it with the church of Corinth. They used it, like it says, to compare the society to the human body and how the society needed all the pieces of the human body. The difference is that in that comparison, the head was typically the wealthy, the privileged, the people that were in control. In Paul's description of the body, he tells us that every piece, part of the body, is important to each other. We can't all be one kind of part of the body, or we wouldn't be able to do what we have to do. Now, Paul goes on, and he says, we're baptized by one Spirit into one body, and we drink from one cup of the Spirit. He uses this repetition of one as a just as he's pounding unity into the heads of the Corinthians. He's saying, look, you guys can't be bickering amongst yourselves over who's got the best gift. Because if you read further in Corinthians, chapter 13, one of my favorite chapters, he goes on to say, you could have the best gift on the planet, but if you haven't got love, you basically got nothing. So Paul is setting them up for this chapter 13, which we might discuss next week, potentially, about love. Now, we're all one. We're unified. However, he talks about Jews and Greeks and frees and slaves. And other places in Scripture, Paul includes gender. He says there's no longer male or female. He covers basically everybody, because in the ancient world, if you weren't a slave, you were free. If you weren't free, you were a slave. If you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile. And if you weren't a Gentile, you were probably a Jew. So Paul's list is all inclusive. Now, fast forward to culture today. That means Paul's list covers every protected class of citizen California can think up. And we got a lot of protected classes of people. We unfortunately tend to put people in silos in society. And what God has done here, He has created in us, everybody in this place, He's created in us a spiritual race. A spiritual race that is bonded together in the unity of Christ through one Spirit, one baptism, one faith, one God. We are united in this. The more diversity of thought that we have, the better the chance to get closer to understanding who God really is. Now think about it. If we go into everything we read about Scripture with a preconceived notion of what we think Scripture is supposed to be, we've only got one view. If we add this side of the room and they look at it in a different way, now we've got two views, and we can sit down and talk and see which one gets us closer to God. This applies not only to churches. It says here that there should be no division in the body. Its parts should have equal concern for each other. It doesn't just apply to the Church of Corinth. It just doesn't apply to our corner of Concord, our family here. This applies to the church universal. It really does. We have brothers and sisters in Christ meeting down the street at Queen of All Saints. Across the way at the Baptist Church. Down the street at the Lutheran Church. Over here at the Methodist Church. We have people meeting in the name of Christ, in the name of God, around this city, around the nation, around the world. And every one of them is part of the church. Big C. Part of God's church. And we should have equal concern for each other. This is why it really breaks my heart when I see a church somewhere say, we got all the answers, and we're the only real Christians, and you guys aren't. Or maybe they say, you guys can be Christians too, but you're sort of a lesser kind of Christian because you don't believe exactly what we believe. That's not showing equal concern for each other. When we have a body of Christ interacting with a different body of Christ, our goal should be to treat them with equal concern. Who's been following the news? There's some pretty hanky stuff going on in the Catholic Church, right? Some stuff that is completely out of place. Some real abuses of power over people that are innocent, that may not have any say in what's going on. Some of these things have been happening for many, many years. We can't excuse it. There's no excuse for that kind of behavior in any organization. But We have to have equal concern for each other. So our job as a fellow body of Christ is to come alongside them, pray with them, help them to, you know, help God give them the right path so that they can get back on track. Like Paul said, when one part of the body suffers, all parts suffer. If you don't believe that the scandals in the Catholic Church have spilled over into Protestant churches and Christianity in general, you haven't been paying attention. We're all getting a bum rap in the world because of what's been going on in another church. It doesn't mean we can't come alongside that church and pray with them and support them and hope that God will get them back on the place where Christianity becomes the preeminent way towards salvation in the world. God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. I highlighted the God and the every one of them and the He because those are important parts of this phrase. Who was here 2 years ago when a bunch of people left our church? Okay? I want to clarify that statement. They didn't leave the church. They left our corner of Concord, our corner of God's kingdom. God planted them exactly where He wanted them to be, to move the kingdom forward. Right? It's not that they left the church. They chose to worship in another place because that's where God wanted them to be. The heart of this place, I've said this before, the heart of FPCC has been planted in other churches now too. So that when we try to reach out and do community service and be the hub of the community, we have allies, people that we love and respect in other churches that can come alongside of us to help build this valley into God's kingdom revived. Now, time to exercise. If you are the last person on the outside of your pew, raise your hand. Now, I want the last person on the outside of the pew to move all the way to the outside. So you have to get up and move all the way to the outside. And if you're in the choir, do the same thing. Okay. When you're ready, we'll start. Okay, so if you're on the outside and you're on my right, your left, and you're in the front part of the church, meaning you're in front of the split of the pews, I want you to put your left arm up. No, only the people on the outside, the far outside. If you're on the outside over here, I want you to put your right arm up. Now, if you're behind the split in the pews, I want you to put your, if you're on this side, I want you to put your left leg out. And if you're on this side, I want you to put your right leg out. Now that we're ready to do the hokey pokey, turn yourself around. I'm kidding. Okay, but this is an illustration. You've all heard, Jim, can you put your other arm up? Yeah, there you go. Well, you're on this side, outside arm. I want to, just the outside arm. Some people are hard to control. I want you to look around. You guys have all heard the saying, we are the hands and the feet of Christ. Who has not heard that? Anybody? We've all heard that. We're the hands and feet of Christ. Keep your arm up, Andrew. We're the hands and feet of Christ. Okay, now you can put your arms and your legs in. But I want you to look. Now, stay where you are. If you were one of the people with your hands and feet up or out, I want you to look towards the center. Do you see all these other people? All these other people in the middle? They didn't have their hands and feet up. So they weren't the... No, you can sit down, honestly, girl. Thanks. Some people are overachievers. You're good. You're good. But I want you to look in the middle. All the people in the middle aren't the hands and feet of Christ at this point in this exercise. They are the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the nose, the squishy middle stuff. I got more squishy middle than some. They're the knees, the elbows. We are the other parts of the body, the organs that keep things running. When you breathe, do you think about it? No. When you blink, do you think about it? No. When you digest food, do you think about it? No. There's these things that happen in our body automatically. And you know what? I used to think some things happen automatically around here too, because they just seem to get done. And then I started working from the pastor's office every week, and I see what goes on. There are people that come in every month and clean our kitchen. The kitchen crew. And they make the kitchen shine. They make the kitchen stay up to code so we can cook in there for the homeless. You guys know who you are. I'm not going to call you out, Jim, Marilyn, Chuck, Ayoko. Was that out loud? I'm sorry. There are people that take care of the grounds around this place, Jim. Ellie, you guys take care of the grounds around this place. There are people like David Stearns, who's here every single day keeping this place working. He changed an entire box of light bulbs last week in one day just because it had to be done. Folks, things happen around this place, and it's not on autopilot like I thought. There are people doing it. And those people could use the help of everybody here. Now, we covered denominations, how this works with denominations. We're all part of God's church, right? All the denominations, all the churches, we're all part of God's church. We're all part of His body. Individual churches here, we're all part of God's family here. We're all part of the body here. I know some of you are eyes, some of you are hands or feet, some of you are buttocks like me. We're all part of the body. We all are out here doing things to make this place cook, to be the community hub that we said we're going to be, to love God, to love people, and to serve. When we were at the leadership retreat this last weekend, thank you for letting us go, by the way. The leadership had a very fruitful and spiritual retreat. It was very good. But somebody in one of our breakout sessions, I think it was Ruth Stevenson, said she had a vision. She had a vision that in 2019, this place was going to explode. Not in a bad way, but with people. She's back on session running our connections and our outreach place, right? And the outreach, we want to do Alpha programs again. Anybody heard of the Alpha program? It's a great introduction for people that haven't been introduced to Christ to come in the door in a non-threatening way, have a meal with us, and just learn about Christ. Ruth, how many people joined the church the last time we did Alpha? 40 people came to God's church. Some of them actually came to this church too, but they joined God's church as a result of us having an outreach program called Alpha. That's one of those things that isn't like breathing and blinking. It takes active participation to make work. So if you're asked at some point to bring a meal for Alpha, say yeah. If you can't serve every single day or every single week on a leadership team or on a mission team, or if you have one day that you can do something, do it that one day. Josh joined the praise band. Some people joined the choir. There's all kinds of ways to make God's kingdom here on this corner stronger, and all kinds of ways at this corner to make this community stronger. But it doesn't always just happen automatically. There's something we call around here hands uniting the body. It's an acronym for HUB. We said we want to be a community hub. That happens with everybody's participation. If you are asked, and this happened at the leadership retreat, we told the leaders, if your ministry team needs people, give a personal invitation to somebody. If you get a personal invitation to help with a ministry team, don't say yes automatically. Don't say no automatically. Go home and pray on it. Ask God what He's calling you to do, because we all have a calling in the church. And that covers the individuals. We all have a calling in this body. Paul goes on to say, are we all apostles? Are we all, you know, prophets, all teachers, all miracle workers? Are we all, do we all have the gifts of healing? I went one too far. Do we all speak in tongues? Do we all interpret? No. That's rhetorical. We don't all do that. But can you do one of them? Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? When you're serving the church, or when you're talking about the church, when you're going around this campus, do you feel buckets of grace falling on you at some point? Luckily for me, when I'm preaching, that's what I feel. Otherwise, I wouldn't be up here able to do this. I feel blessed to do this. I feel honored to do this. The people in the choir, Charmaine sings. How many choirs do you sing in, Charmaine? She sings in three choirs, and that's down. I think she used to sing in like seven. Five. Okay, I was a little... She sings because she gets buckets of grace when she sings. She feels the presence of God with her when she sings. Where do you feel the presence of God? Ask yourself. And if you don't know, you can log on to disasterpastor.com. That's our old pastor Toby's website. And he's got a spiritual gifts analysis there. Disasterpastor.com. If you can't remember that, just come see me and we'll write it down. There's a code that you can put in to take the spiritual gifts assessment for free. It's CONQUERED1. We'll write that down too. But if you have not taken a spiritual gifts analysis, or let's say it's been 3 or 4 years, somebody at the leadership retreat said, my gifts have changed. I'm now better at this than I used to be. Take the test. Take the analysis. And then turn your results in to the hub, which will be meeting, which has a table over in the fellowship hall. If you've been to the fellowship hall, you've seen it. If you haven't been to the fellowship hall, I encourage you to come, because there's some wonderful people that serve coffee and cookies. There's a lot of people shaking hands, a lot of people talking, a lot of people hugging. It is a place to really get to know people. And I've said it before, Christianity is not a solo adventure, people. It has to be done in fellowship. And the way you do fellowship is you meet people that also believe in what you do, and you get together and you talk about Jesus. Amen?